Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
May 17th, 2024, King and Queen of the Ring. We're 1 week out. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Glenn Rubenstein here with Flobo Boys.
Woo! What's going on, Glenn?
Oh, it's good to be back, man. All that travel last week. I saw Sami Zayn in his comedy show. It was great. Becky Lynch showed up. Johnny Knoxville showed up.
Did you get a book?
I got the audiobook.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's not the same thing as getting the book, though.
They were giving away signed copies. They had like a little promo game, so you think you can promo. And I was like, do you ever think about this? Because we do this podcast.
Right.
Like, we cut fake promos, and we do characters, and we do funny stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But I was just like, am I going to get up there? I was like, no, I'm not getting up there.
I'll be honest with you, Glenn. I'm not a Zen person. Like, I'm not like into, like, I don't know, spiritual alignment and stuff. So when someone tells me, hey, Flobo, it's actually good for your mental health to do positive affirmations, I can't do that. But oh, yeah. Flo Beta will cut a promo in the mirror, daddy. You know what I mean? Let's do it.
Kathy Kelly gave people a prompt. And she was like, here's who you're going up against. Here's your character. Go. I felt really bad. The first one was a woman who was the beefy brawler was her character going up against like a vegan wrestler. That was like a layout.
It's kind of funny, actually. Yeah.
Someone that was the gentrifier cutting a promo against rent control Rick. Like, but the third dude looked kind of like Drake. So Kathy Kelly was like, so Drake, Kendrick Lamar's been spitting a lot of fire lately. What do you have to say in response? And this guy was like,
I'm a claims awkward. Adjuster. I don't know what you mean.
But it was cool though, man. And supposedly, so Sami Zayn, as a postscript to that, he went on Instagram. He said there's gonna be more shows, more Sami Zayn and friends, more stuff soon coming to a city near you. It was fun. I'm glad I was there. And
question,
who knows?
What was the vibe compared to a Dolph Ziggler show or a Nick Nemeth show?
I think that the
comedy
bar,
show, I mean.
Well, okay, so Sammy did like 20 minutes to open and he ran his opening joke into the ground. Like, he basically said that, you know, he asked Mick Foley what to do. Mick was like, come up with one good joke. So Sammy's like, well, paying to see me do stand-up comedy is like paying to see Michael Jordan play baseball in the 90s. And then he's like, so I did tell it to Mick. I said, Mick, this is my joke. And Mick said, that's pretty good. And then I told it to my wife and he repeats the joke again. And his wife goes, do not do that. And he talks about the argument he had with his wife. And he's like, but I'm here, so I'm going to do it anyway. So he said it like five times.
That's what Chappelle did in his last one. Yeah. Chappelle did the same bit with the submarine or submersible.
He told a story after about wrestling in Portugal. And he had a good callback at the end of the show to his story about wrestling Ultra Psycho in Portugal in this match that went wrong. But what was amazing is that when Ron Funches came out, Ron said, you've never done stand-up and you opened with 20 minutes. Like, that is both bold and cocky.
Oh, yeah. My first set was 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and I was sweating.
You know? Sammy did good, man. He did good. Yeah. It went really well with the crowd. But the weird wrinkle in the whole thing, it was the fastest sellout in Netflix as a joke in the whole festival. Problem is, about 20% was bought by flippers and scalpers.
Oh, no.
So there were a lot of like empty seats that tried to get offloaded at the end just because I think people thought it was sold out. So they didn't know, you know, a lot of people didn't get in that could have. Like, it was a legit sellout, but it's unfortunate that like there were just, yeah, scalpers ruin everything.
There's never going to be a proper ticket solution, man. Either pay fees out the waz. I took my mom to see Usher last year, and it was two tickets plus fees and insurance, because it's so much money, you might as well. It was like $1,300, and I was in the rafters. And I was like, Mom, I hope you realize I'm your favorite son now. There's no more debate. We're taking to see Usher, you know?
No, it's nice. But it was good, man. It was good to see the Johnny Knoxville thing. Now WWE's posting clips on social media, so maybe this is a slow build to a rematch between them. But hey, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Packed SmackDown. Kind of some surprises. Some stuff that did not go the way. In fact, I think I got I think I actually got every semifinal match tonight in King and Queen of the Ring. I would have predicted it the other way.
Okay, I'm about to say, I was like, I did not predict that they would throw in a DQ. Granted, a DQ, we'll get to the DQ later on, but I was kind of surprised with some of the results.
It was unpredictable. Now, that being said, we're also going to talk about the Bloodline. We exchanged some tweets about the Bloodline and how that's all going these days. Yeah. We are going to talk about the contract signing. But before we hop into it all, what's going on in the news?
There's a lot of news going on this week, which I was a little bit worried about. But wrestling never disappoints. First things first, kind of the more whimsical one. They got referenced on SmackDown this week. There was a QR code that led to a mysterious Twitch video that was lasting an hour long. It looked like it was almost a therapist setup with it's inferred to be Bray Wyatt. Now, I don't know about you, Glenn, but I'm an old man. I'm not really sure I'm all about QR codes and long-term storytelling. I'm like, get to the point. But I will say this is actually a new way of sharing story, because I never went to Twitch before for any kind of content, and this one here is going up the whole Uncle Howdy era, I guess, of this.
What is this? Is the thing I was talking about this earlier. It's like they can set this up. The challenge is, how does this translate into matches? How does this translate in the ring? And I think interest is super high in this, right? Like the idea, it feels like, I don't know, if somebody said this is too soon, I get it. I like the Bray Wyatt documentary. I mean, look, he's greatly missed. We're still, a lot of us, I think, are still just even accepting it, right? It's hard to think about the fact it's like, oh, he's no longer with us. And clearly, the impact of loss on the locker room, his friends, his family. I like that they want to carry on his legacy. But I swear, if Dexter Lumis comes out in a Mercy the Buzzard outfit and we got Joe Gacy in a pig outfit, like,
whoa,
I don't know how this is going to go.
That's a very specific thing. You know, that would kill in like my rise in 2K. Dexter Lumis was a buzzard. No, I'm with you. Like, I feel like an old man. And the reason why I say that is that I was watching wrestling intently during the pandemic. It sounds weird to say this, but it helped me keep to know what day it was back when it was like that weird time. And so I was with the whole Bray Wyatt stuff the first time, and I was with Bray Wyatt the second time with the White Rabbit. And I understand that he's not with us now, so I don't mean to pile on to him, the performer, but it's like, I am willing to, for someone to recap and tell me the highlights. I do not want to go in the QR code scavenger hunt myself the third time around. Maybe the kids might want to do that. I'm just like, get to the point. So
well, I'm a little bit more impatient. Tend to work. Alternate reality games as a genre tend to work because you have the hardcore, and it's very few people. It's usually, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds at best.
And the dozens.
Yes. But the people recap it. They figure out and experience the puzzle and get the solution. And then from there, they share it. Like, for instance, the therapist name. You know, this therapist name is an anagram.
Oh, is it?
For Uncle Howdy.
Oh, there you go. Did not even know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that at all.
So, Wendy Lucho, Uncle Howdy, rearrange the letters, drink your Ovaltine.
Wendy. Yes.
So, they should totally get Samoa Joe back just for that. but I think that interest is high. The fact they're talking about it in the air now, like, even we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think soon. I think this is going to maybe be the Monday after King and Queen of the Ring?
It should be, yeah. I mean, King and Queen of the Ring, which is going to be hard to say. And it's kind of awkward everyone has to say both names in the title. Should be the main focus because of how big and how quickly it's going, but definitely afterwards you should lead into that. Can I just say real quick about Goodfellow, who says scavenger hunt QR codes have been brilliant? I get it. I love it. I just feel like I've done that twice before. I'm willing to sit this one out.
This one's deeper. Before it was... even having an anagram or having something that's a little more puzzly, they didn't do actual interact. Like, it wasn't interactive. It was more like Easter eggs or just bonus content. That's so fair. I think it'll be cool though. But no, what I'm thinking, because look, people have said it's this Wyatt Six concept, like Dexter Loomis, Joe Gacy, Eric Rowan, Alexa Bliss, Uncle Howdy. Cannot remember who the other member is rumored to be. But I just remember when we had the White Rabbit reveal and Bray came back last time, like there was the dude in the Huskus, the scary Huskus costume. And that's where I'm just like, oh, please do not put Joe Gacy in that costume and have that be his gimmick.
Love is blind.
Yes.
I like it, but again, the problem I have with Retribution and a problem I'll have with Final Testament is that if there is a group and there is a faction, you got to feed them to someone or have someone fed to them. Who's that going to be?
Well, you know who makes the most sense, but he's not going to take the... They need to dominate this thing Jey Uso is doing with the Eater of Worlds and the Fireflies.
That's pretty funny, actually.
They're not going to have him lose, but... In a perfect debut, this is where the new Wyatt family just takes him out.
And do what? Guys, only put the lights on when we're out here? Like, you can't.
I mean, but you can't do that. You can't, like, actually, the timing of this, of Jey leaning into this, makes me think maybe that is the first feud. Maybe Jey joins the Wyatt family. That's... Okay, I've said some crazy S on this podcast over the last 8 years, and occasionally one of them comes true. That might be one.
Wow.
That Jey joins the new Wyatt family as the Eater of Worlds.
That's crazy. We're going to take your soul, yeet. My parents have mentioned, yeet. That's so weird.
I can just see that. Jey with Uncle Howdy cutting a promo. That would be amazing. Nikki Cross, that's right. She's rumors as well. This could be tough. I mean, this could be cool or this could be whack. This could be, I'm not going to make the other comparisons. I don't want to be insensitive, but
I feel, look, there's enough tools at the disposal, personnel, time to really make this work. And I think it will work on a certain level because, not to compare them, unlike the Final Testament, you kind of understand what you're getting into with a Bray Wyatt story. I think Bray Wyatt's the best way to put this. I guess my concern is that you'll have the long-term buildup. They show up, and it's like, well, for that to work with so many people, you need, like, it's like an NWO situation. You either have to have another faction that's going to defy them, or are they going to be for good, for evil, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about what's happening with the Bloodline and the franchise effect. We'll talk about that. What else is going on in the news, though?
Well, we got some sad news from Ivar, seemingly written off this week on NXT, getting attacked backstage by returning Gallus Boys on top. It seems that Ivar is suffering from an injury that's, as right now, not disclosed, even though rumors are swirling about the health of his back. It does seem to be an indefinite injury as he was scratched from live events this weekend. The future of Ivar is uncertain, which is a deathly blow to the Viking Raiders in total.
No, I know. It's... I think the NXT angle has been interesting and doing something a little different. You know, it's interesting that Gallus is back. Also, you know what would be a solid reinvention of that gimmick? Call them the Coffee Boys.
And Wolfgang?
Coffee Boys and Wolfgang. Just the Coffee Boys. That's the name of their faction. They're baristas. They're the Coffee Boys.
Wow. I would not drink anything they would serve to me.
At first, when they showed up, I was like... Oh yeah, that's Gallus. Like, but it took me a minute to just like, is that Hank and Tank? Like, what's going on?
Oh yeah, because US Gallus was like weird. Like, Joe had his hair grown out and it was always in his face. Yeah. You're like, who is that? You know what I mean? Like, you remind me of somebody.
Yeah, but I think that was that's gotta be interesting. I always wonder when you're injured and they write you off on a beatdown, like. That's gotta suck, right? To be like, okay, I'm getting rid off TV. I'm gonna sit here and just protect myself and hope I don't actually get hurt.
I don't know how to like the. I thought about this because on one hand, you want to have the visual so the fans that are theoretically your fans can say, hey, when are you coming back? When are you getting revenge? But then I look back to the last times that happened. I think Noam Dar is faking it, but the Trick Willie getting attacked thing, you're like, what did Carmelo in theory did that was so bad? When Nikita Lyons was injured the second time, it was like, what? she looked like she was helpless. Like, it looked like she like slipped. You know what I mean? So I think it's how it's done. But ultimately, you really want something where your fans can ask you, where are you? Not like you disappearing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I hope Ivar recovers quickly.
Yeah, I liked him on NXT. I always thought it was kind of weird. He had a different look on Monday nights and Tuesday nights. It was almost like he went to a barrier and his clothes changed. But
no, it's like, you ever see your teacher outside of school?
Weird.
You're just like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
It was like Viking casual day.
It's Viking casual. We'll pillage tomorrow.
Yeah. Today we're wearing Dockers. Yeah. It's casual day.
Dockers. Oh my gosh. That's awful.
I'm wearing my non-pillaging vest. This is the vest I wear. Yeah. I wear this vest when I run errands.
Gosh. What does it get?
What else? What else we got?
And lastly, the Law and Crime Network releases body cam footage involving Liv Morgan in a recent DUI arrest. And look, I understand this is actually important for those who are about that life, but yes, you can actually check out the body cam footage of a recent arrest of a WWE superstar, according to Wrestling Hap Tip to Fightful. So if you're into that kind of stuff, which I am not, because it's always bad for business, you can check that out yourself.
I hear that the police did not come across very well on this footage. I have not watched it.
I have not watched it either.
Yeah, it's on the Law and Crime Network. Check it out. If that's, I mean, Cops is still on the air. People like watching this sort of thing.
I'll be honest with you, and maybe people will tell me I'm a bit too Pollyanna, too positive. Mm. Like, wrestling to me is an escape, and so I won't say I ignore the things that can happen that are like negative, but like, I don't watch Dark Side of the Ring. Like, I know most of the Dark Side stories. Like, send me the happy stuff. Like, give me stuff that I care about. So as someone who has seen body cam footage in real life for other things, people I know, people I haven't known, the police departments here in Los Angeles, etc., I don't want to do that in my spare time against a fictional character in Liv Morgan and see her do it in real life. That's me personally.
I get it. So that's it for the news.
That is it for the news.
Well, let's talk about SmackDown tonight, coming at you from Jacksonville, home of one Limp Bizkit.
What?
Yeah. That's Limp Bizkit's from Jacksonville.
I don't disagree. I just thought it was kind of weird. Home of
that's like their thing.
Like Bakersfield, the home of corn or whatever.
Bakersfield is the home of corn. That's correct. And you know what's crazy? Corn has a hot sauce. And normally these things are like, oh, some band or celebrity has a hot sauce. This is probably bad. But they use Central Valley peppers in it. And I have to tell you, the corn hot sauce is remarkably good.
What did you try it on?
I've had it on wings. I've had it on tacos. It's like kind of a sweet sort of, it's a sweet sort of an orange hot sauce. It's a little habanero, a little tangy. It's very good.
Very risky there.
It's a collab with Heatnest, who does hot ones.
Okay. Hot ones. It's very, very risky. Because if it's good, it's good. If it's good. Terrible, you pass out. They're like, well, what happened? He had corn hot sauce. Who told him to have the corn hot sauce?
Well, you know,
what a way to go out.
Dexter from The Offspring has Gringo Bandito. His line of hot sauces, also pretty good.
Oh, wow. That's a great go. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. I subscribe to that Hot Ones box, the Heatness box, every month. And I swear to God, I've just got like a tub of like extra of where it's like, I got to get around to this. Because you can't finish them as quickly as they send them to you.
Semi-personal question there, Glenn. When you make wings, do you use cauliflower?
Cauliflower or Gardein or it just depends.
Gotcha. I didn't know.
Yeah, chicken. it's just a mechanism for getting hot sauce.
Yeah, it's a mechanism.
It's a mechanism.
No, because I had because after your discussion this week about vegan burgers and stuff and stuff like that, like to me, I love like rice and bean burgers, but the actual like Beyond stuff, I can't. Impossible, I can't. I just can't do that.
I've been getting better about trying to eat more actual vegetables, so I haven't had Gardein in a while. So my wife's going out of town this weekend. Shout out to people keeping track of that. But in my fridge, I've got like two meals worth of cauliflower wings.
Hell yeah.
Like prepped and ready to go. I'm just going to reheat them in the air fryer and then I will toss them in hot sauce. Even though it's a nice vegan ranch made of cashews.
Yeah.
You know, no guar gum, no fillers. So I'll eat that. Like, and that and some vegan jalapeno poppers. I'll sit down and eat those. No. Watch X-Men 97.
Cauliflower wings and cauliflower rice are cool. Yeah, I give cauliflower pizza. It could be anything. You just don't eat too much of it. Oh, so you'll be gassy and old man like myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's right. Cauliflower is like the Dolph Ziggler of cuisine.
Really putting over Dolph tonight.
Why not? Someone's got to.
Are you going? Are you coming to Vegas next week for Double or Nothing?
No, because I got to work. I got that IRL life, you know? It's
Well, here's the crazy thing that I realized today. Double or Nothing, Dynamite, Collision, Rampage on Vegas next week. I have seen very little chatter about people doing destination Vegas for Double or Nothing. I have already had a dozen people hit me up and say that they've booked their hotel room for WrestleMania next year in Las Vegas.
I don't know what AEW's business is, and I don't want to get like dragged by the AEW faithful, but I just think that it's a good idea, but they just ran the same cities kind of often. Now, I know they can't go to like Portugal like WWE can, but Chicago, Charlotte, Boston, Vegas, they've all seen. I mean, even Inglewood here is getting a Dynamite soon. It's kind of like there's other places I want to see your product, man. Spread the love.
And with Vegas, I'm going to tell you, shout out to Conrad, lack of StarCast. I think the first couple of Double or Nothing, you know, like having it be a destination where you can go and spend a couple days, like that will get people to travel.
True. And satellite shows having other promotions do their stuff.
Yeah. But I'm bummed. I literally have it blocked off of my calendar next week where it was like Wednesday through Sunday. People are going to be in town. Make yourself available. There's going to be meetups. People are going to be hanging out. And I haven't heard anything. Maybe I'm just not popular. I don't know, but it's weird.
I think it's very cool to not to show your outward support of AEW. I think people still watch the shows. They still support the characters. But like the saying, hey, guys, I'm going to Double or Nothing isn't what's popping for the kids.
Yeah. I'm bummed. I like seeing wrestling friends, you know, and I feel like,
where's my invite, Glenn?
That's why I opened this conversation saying, are you coming out here next week?
No, I'm just jealous, you know, because you're like you're living a wrestling hotspot. So it's kind of like people come to you all the time.
I booked a hotel for Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. But I want to have a place close to at least T-Mobile since NXT and Raw are going to be going there. I want like a central place to podcast out of. Like my goal actually for Vegas next year is I would love beyond just doing the regular coverage. Like I would love it to be like, oh, Flobo, you're here. Two other interesting people are here. I've got the setup. Let's go. Just talk. Let's just let's do hangouts, interviews. Let's just have a central location.
If Wrestling Inc. is listening, this man has a whole setup he wants to do. Let's do it. Activate. Get your little hospitality room. It'd be great.
Let's make it happen.
Make it happen.
Actually, I'll give that pro tip now. Okay, so check this out, y'all. You know, part of the reason why Vegas wanted WWE for that weekend, April 19th and 20th, 2025, that Easter weekend is like a super slow weekend in Vegas.
Is it? Really?
Yes. And that is Vegas was like, yo, we need you here. So let me give you a pro tip. Let me give you a pro tip to anyone that's going to come for this next year. The hotels haven't figured it out or got the memo yet that WrestleMania is going on that weekend. So you can get rooms right now. And by the way, like the difference between like just a basic room and like a upgraded room or a suite, it is not super expensive. It is not super like I've been checking the prices every day because I'm like, oh, did they go up yet? Because people are still asking me where's the best place to stay. And I'm checking and I'm like, nope, this is still really good rates. And the cool thing is you can, if you don't go, you can cancel up to like a week before. As long as it's a cancelable rate, you can cancel that room if your plans change. But you will never be able to get these rooms cheaper than they are right now.
But how much for your house? You're not going to be there. Oh, come on, Glenn.
It's going to be like an episode of Family Ties. We're just going to rent it out. We're going to like that episode of Family Ties invented Airbnb.
WrestleMania season always bums me out because I always feel like I'm washed up and no one likes me at all in the wrestling world. But I think I should go. So I'll probably just book the room. And if I get like cold feet or turn blue, I won't do it. But yeah.
But I don't even care so much about going to the actual Mania show itself. Everything else and just being around it is fun.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, no. Okay, let's talk about SmackDown though again from Jacksonville, Florida, home alone biscuit.
On this show? Okay. SmackDown.
Yeah. Okay. I know. It's good. I feel like it hasn't been that long. It's been like 10 days since we talked last.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's been weird. It's been weird having time off. Okay, so tonight, King and Queen of the Ring tournament quarterfinals. We opened with Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. What'd you think of this match?
Well, first things first there. I know everyone had rumors swirling about Tiffy time and what she said and Bianca, what she was doing outside the ring. I'm so glad I started off the festivities today. I put all those rumors to bed. The match was fantastic. The crowd was hot. I really think, and this is going to sound so like, so jingoistic, I guess, but or very patriotic, but America saw what France did and was like, oh yeah. And the crowds have been just super hot since Backlash. It's been fun to see.
Yeah. America's very competitive with France.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not as much as England, but
yeah. No, I thought this was a really good match, but I would have called this wrong. I was like, I knew, okay, I'm just going to put this out there. I knew we were, there was no way we were getting Bianca versus Jade.
Why not?
That's a WrestleMania match. That's I think so. That's a PLE main event. You're not going to do that on SmackDown in a semifinal?
Okay. So you're right. I do think that Bianca versus Jade, if there's a clear winner, is a WrestleMania, but we saw DQs were a thing. So I really thought Bianca and Jade's going to be teased because they are friends, they are tag team champions, and tag team division is next to nothing. But you can't be like, oh, it would never happen. That's why I was like, oh, we'll see.
Well, it wouldn't happen now, but yeah. I thought, okay, so I thought Tiffany Stratton was going to win for that reason.
Oh, okay.
But I see why they wanted us to think for all of 15 minutes that Bianca and Jade was going to happen so they could do it the other way. Because I thought Jade was going to, I was like, Jade can't lose.
I saw Jade and Bianca having the stare down in their round, and then Nia Jax being so frustrated having that DQ or either Bianca or Jade and having the one advance. That's what I saw. So I saw them winning tonight, and then, but you're right, it wouldn't have been a clear cut win either way. So
yeah. But I love this opening match. I thought it was really good. Tiffany Stratton over Bianca, over crowd into it. Like, this was really good. This was really strong.
Thoughts about the production of it? I feel like there was different camera angles nowadays, and felt like very Saturday night.
Trying some stuff. Trying some stuff, you know. But we'll see, and we'll see how it is when they're overseas. Because when they're overseas, production also is
true. I'm with that.
Different nuance. I don't even know what the weather's like
in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, in KSA this time of year.
It's the summertime, so I'm assuming like 110, 115, and then the winter is going to be like 85 or 90. I was in Dubai last November, and it was like peaking at 91, 92.
You're just a jet setter. You were in Dubai. You were in Australia.
Yeah, well, I have to work. Well, Australia was supposed to be work, and then my credentials, press credentials didn't work out, but I was in Dubai covering baseball, and I was like melting. Like, this is not should be an outside sport.
What do your frequent flyers and hotel points look like at this point?
I don't have, my problem is I scattered my airlines to get the cheapest deal, but I am a Hyatt guy, bro. Like, I have so many Hyatt points. I'm just like rocking the butt, baby.
There you go. And you getting the lounge access?
Yes, kind of you have to. Okay. Most of them are Regencies only, but yeah, you got to do it. That's what Melbourne was. Free food in the afternoons.
Yeah. Hey, there's something about an airport lounge that just makes travel a little less miserable.
Oh, I turned to MGF so fast. I'm better than you and you.
No, I thought this was a really strong opener. Was surprised that Bianca got the win. They're really selling her knee.
Yeah.
So we Bianca shall doesn't see.
Win. She doesn't need to win, so that's a perfect app for her.
Okay, so how are you feeling about Tama Tonga making those noises backstage, hanging out with Sola and Tonga Loa?
You know what? What the hell is he going to do? Like, he can't look any more intimidating.
But okay, so a couple weeks ago in the debut, I was like, okay, this is like the Bloodline Wolfpack. This is the Bloodline of the Next Generation. And I tweeted, I'm like, now this feels like the Bloodline, the sequel, where not everyone, they couldn't get the whole cast back. Yeah. So they were like, hey, we're going to introduce you to some new people. Now, in the case of Too Fast, Too Furious, we ended up getting Roman and Tej. Yeah. So that was cool. But there's also been some sequels like that where it's like, oh, have you ever watched Into the Blue 2? Like, there's not a Scott Conn in the cast of the entire bunch.
He made the movie.
Into the Blue didn't make the movie. Into the Blue is dope. If you've never seen Into the Blue with Paul Walker and Scott Conn, it's like
I've seen that one, not two.
I saw Into the Blue. We liked Into the Blue one so much, we said we're gonna watch part two.
That's awful. That is a bad decision.
Yeah, but this, like, the bloodline right now, a little more Into the Blue two than Too Fast, Too Furious.
So that was always my original problem with the bloodline, is that we really don't know what the tribe does. And I think that it's, the ship has sailed. Now you can't go back and see what the tribe does. So Roman's not there. He was the whole thing. Paul Heyman isn't cutting up playing promos, but you know, now you got to tell me, imagine if I didn't know who Tama was or Tonga was, why are they important and why they listen to Solo? That hasn't been established yet. So I'm going, guys, holding pattern, help me out here.
Yes. Bring It On, a classic. Bring It On again. Not so much.
I saw that one coming as well. Yeah.
Critters 1, okay. Critters 2, better in many ways.
What about House Party 2? What do you feel about that?
It's a pajama jammy jam.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
When I was in high school, when that came out, and I was on the student activities thing, and we're like, we are having a pajama jammy jam.
Everyone won a pajama jam.
We had a school dance that was a pajama jammy jam.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves.
Yeah, we lived the dream, Flobo. But no, I think the bottom line of this thing was Solo being like, hey, I'm talking to Roman, you know, like, okay, when Roman comes back with Jimmy and Jay, and there's then Jacob Fatu in the mix, like, give me the bloodline war. That's going to be dope. Problem is, if they wait too long, this is going to feel like that season of the Dukes and Hazzard when Bo and Luke were gone and we had Coy and Vance.
Wow.
And it's just ain't going to be. As a kid, I remember asking my father, I said, Papa, where did Bo and Luke go? And he said, son, let me tell you something about contract negotiations.
Did you live on a farm?
What the? No.
Papa, he said, eat your gruel, son.
Sometimes, son, actors ask for more money.
Dad was raising a barn.
They bring in replacements that look vaguely like the guys. And I said, but Papa, why? And he said, we live in a capitalist society.
Fair enough. I love that.
Yeah. Beer Money, New Bloodline, Grease 2. Grease 2 is better than Grease 1. So I don't.
It's a hot take, but I'm inclined to agree.
Is motorcycles instead of cars. Now, if the Bloodline 2, Electric Boogaloo, also a superior sequel to the original. If the new Bloodline was like, yo, we're like the original Bloodline, but we ride motorcycles. I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of weird. I mean, Chuck Palumbo. It's like, what? Can we really be invested? And this is not even a knock against Solo Sikoa, but can we be invested in an intimidating Bloodline with no titles at all? Like, is this King of the Ring made for them, for us to give us a reason to care about this new group?
No, it's a little, I'll always know what you did last summer. And it's just not quite up to par. I don't get, like, Solo's not even saying, I'm the head of the table, acknowledge me. Like, what's his mission? What's his goal? He wants to seize control. But, you know, remember, like, in Godfather 3 at the end, where it was like, Andy Garcia is the Don now, and he's in charge of the Corleone family. Like, Sonny's boy. What was his name? Why am I?
Godfather 3 Vincent. Is like, I see, like, 20 years ago.
Okay, but the thing about the end of Godfather 3 is he's the new Godfather when the movie ends. We never actually got to see him being the Godfather, because that would have paled in comparison to Don and Michael.
It's like in Carlito's Way, the sequel was actually the prequel. You're like, I don't want to see him, like, be on the straight and narrow.
So Solo is, it's like season 4 or 5 of The Wire. They're not the same characters, but it's like a prequel, and Michael becomes Omar, the new Omar at the end. Spoiler for anyone that hasn't watched season 4 or 5 of The Wire.
Well, The Wire is one of the greatest shows of all time.
Dookie becomes the new Bubbles, and it's like, oh, the circle of life. I get it now.
That's what I'm asking you. Is this chapter of the Bloodline a misstep, or this is a season on the docks that looks like a misstep and then it maybe becomes a good thing?
Okay, but who's Ziggy in the new Bloodline?
Oh, Jacob Fatu. My work here is done. Shout out to Wrestling Inc. Every week. No, I'm just
kidding. The season 2 of The Wire, when it starts, it's like, what is going on with the show?
Mm-hmm.
It does get good. Okay, so that's a good point. This could work. I mean, remember Sami Zayn, that started off as like a weird comedy thing and became some of the most powerful storytelling in WWE history.
Not to me, but I get you. I am just not, I was never a fan of the whole Uzi stuff. That sounds terrible. That Uzi stuff. Yeah.
That actually, no, Sami Zayn was season two of the Wire. That was season two of the Wire for the Bloodline.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are in season four of the Bloodline now. So okay, it is. So and it's like, who are these kids? Who are all these kids?
Fair enough.
That is the new Bloodline. There, we solved it. No, Beer Money. It's not Speed 2. I mean, where's Willem Dafoe with leeches? Anyhow.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Tama Tonga versus LA Knight. I would have thought LA Knight was going to win this.
Here's a guy that needs a win. Even though him and AJ are 1-1, it felt like AJ won that last feud. He really ripped Carmelo to shreds on the mic, which is pretty cool backstage. But how many times, and again, LA Knight's a character is not for us being grown men. I think Kelly and I has a very good high kid appeal of a teenager, but I think is cool, but he has to win. Like you can't be saying I'm the greatest and have the crowd go with you for so long and keep losing. That's going to be your death sentence. LA Knight, focus.
Yeah.
And that pin was weak, super weak.
I was very surprised. Like I would have literally run the table in the opposite direction. I would have lost on every bet for the outcome of these matches tonight.
Don't bet on wrestling, man. Terrible.
But if they made it legal in Vegas, I'd kind of want to. Because I'd be like, I know a thing or two. I know.
The most Rumble, maybe.
Yeah. Most betting's a bad idea.
I guess. But imagine someone being like, hey, look, we just realized that LNA's trending. And someone's like, flip the switch.
Do you think WWE has ever... I've never heard a story of this. And I've interviewed, you know, maybe a dozen wrestlers. And certainly I've podcasted with wrestlers.
Lexan.
I have never heard a story of WWE saying like, oh, on social media, this person's getting a reaction or the crowd's going crazy. Like, tell the ref, change the finish of the match.
Well, Cyber Sunday needs to come back. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's NXT or WWE, but that is a gimmick that would work double.
It would.
For that reason. Yeah.
That would be amazing, though. I mean, that sounds like something if you're watching a Black Mirror episode or a movie about dystopian future and they're like, oh, we're gonna kill this person, and then they're like, oh no, actually it's kind of like Hunger Games, right? Like, oh no, they're a hero, we have to make them win now.
Yeah,
people love them. That only works in dystopias, not in WWE, which used to be close to a dystopia but maybe now isn't so much, question mark. We'll see.
I don't know if you realize, but WWE's on fire. Okay. Like the all right.
Okay. Sure, Paul. Have you been watching since WrestleMania? Because
exactly.
It's calmed down. The blaze has been contained. So let's but this was good. What do you think of Tama's actual wrestling?
Tama's good, and I think that someone looking through the lens of a WWE fan, I think he's cool enough that he'll have his own appeal. I just think the problem is, like we were saying before, he's just in this system that is missing a Roman Reigns, so he's going to look like a secondary replacement. The actual moves and holds, he's fine. I mean, he's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah. No, I thought it was good. What did you think of Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul coming face-to-face for a contract signing?
I don't get this because okay. Last week it was implied to me at least that only Cody's title was in the line. Then it was like, no, it's going to be title for title. Okay. Stakes. I wonder what's going to happen when the titles get combined. It has been done before. Seth Freakin' Rollins did it, you know? And then it was like, no, I made my own contract that somehow is okay and approved, and Cody signs it anyway? Like, why? Why would you do that, Cody?
I like the idea that Logan brought his attorney in his own contract with him.
That's not how it works, though. You don't do
that. I know. Yeah, but it's all dumb. Have you ever seen what's on these contracts? Like,
no.
These aren't legally binding documents, Flobo.
That's what contracts are. They're literally binding agreements.
Wait, do you think that this is like when someone's doing a movie or a rehearsal or stand-in, and it's like, oh, we exchanged vows. Wait, that was a real priest. Oh, we're actually married. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Look, if I live in a world where I can say, you, me in the ring tonight, and a match can be official over the break, well, then if I'm signing something, it's doubly official. Come on.
Well, these guys are using the real names, but if LA Knight signs a contract to LA Knight, how binding is that?
Remember that time when John Cena signed in front of Finn Balor? I mean, that's his real name, but it's also a gimmick. I have no idea. I think it's dumb. It should be a DocuSign. I hate contract signings, but you got to make it happen.
The DocuSign. Wouldn't that be amazing? Today we're going to have a contract signing, and both guys had tablets.
Yeah, no tables, no promos. Yeah. Just click, 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 and you're in. No, but I don't understand why title for title, which would be kind of interesting, but it would make sense in having Logan Paul stepping up to Cody. But now you're going to Saudi Arabia, knowing full well it's in these weird holding pattern of a main event, that stakes are now completely ruined. Like, you don't think Cody's going to lose now because there's nothing for him to lose.
Actually, dude, Logan Paul, who I know watches this podcast.
Uh-oh, I love him. He's great. Drink Prime.
No, kidding.
I hate Prime. I really
do. Logan Paul, the next time you need to do a contract signing, you know, show in the ring, and I want you to be on the beach in Puerto Rico and saying, I sent you a DocuSign. Like, I don't need to show up for this.
Hell yeah. I'll pop.
Yes.
He'll be immense.
That'd be amazing. but I think Cody looked better in the last confrontation they had. Certainly in the recap of it, he looked amazing, but this was just kind of like, no, Cody, this isn't title for title. This is just for your title. I mean, look, we know Cody's winning. There is no suspense in this match at all.
Not anymore.
There was?
I think with both titles being on the line, it makes you wonder, right? Because then you're like, well, maybe if Cody loses, then it might be a kind of a redemption thing. But now, if it's just his title and there's no stakes on the U.S. title moving at all, then...
Given we had to wait an extra year for Cody to win this championship, and given this was the christening, the ascension, this was the anointed now in WWE. SummerSlam 2025, I will think there might be a chance Cody loses his title. I will not believe there is even a shred of an opportunity for him to lose that belt before then.
Maybe. That's a good thing, the way it's going. But also feel like WWE knows that we can't fantasy book just to the big four. Like, no, let's have a matchup at Clash of the Castle. Well, not Clash of the Castle. Whatever the November-December thing is. You know what I mean? Like... backflip on in France or whatever, dark match live in Portugal, and have a match there. Because again, you're looking at what Saudi Arabia is saying a couple weeks ago, saying they want the big events like Rumble and WrestleMania, and that's part of the reason why. Because I think even there are getting smart to the fact that Logan Paul has zero chance of walking away with the championship. And it's like, why we have this Dog and Pony Show inside this Dog and Pony Show? We want things with stakes.
I bet you it's going to be like another Greatest Royal Rumble, and it's going to be WrestleMania. Part 2. WrestleMania 41, part 2.
Okay, so what's the worst idea? Having WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia or splitting WrestleMania into two different venues? One in Saudi Arabia, one in North America.
I think they'll do that. No, I think that's the better idea, because you can't... You just can't... Why would they... here's one thing I've learned about WWE. And this goes across whoever's in charge. Hell like, yeah. They're not going to miss out... They'll add more paydays, but they're not going to miss out on existing paydays. Now, they'll take Backlash to an exotic location because they'll make more money there. It's always much more. They will not make, I do not believe, they will not make enough money in addition to what they're already being paid for WrestleMania to say, oh, well, let's just do the WrestleMania there, you know, there. Like Survivor Series, if I had to pick, Survivor Series is the one.
Oof, Survivor Series in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is not a good look. Not a look at all. That's a bad branding decision. War Games in Saudi Arabia is not a good look at all.
They'll rebrand it. They'll come up with something else.
Better.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. I'm saying, like, there's one government that can say, you know what, this is worth it. We have it. It's not Puerto Rico's government. It's definitely the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and they're fun. They can, I'm not saying they will or will not, but I can see them being like, look, whatever money you estimate losing by not having it in North America, we can match.
Okay, so what do they do for U.S. fans in that time? See, that for U.S. fans, they're going to have to do something.
Right. So the issue there will be a PR issue or a personnel issue more than anything else. But is that worth it? I mean, you can recover. Because I mean, when the Saudi Arabia deal was announced, people say we'll never support the brand again. And WWE found a way to make that work. I'm not saying it's going to happen next year, but I wouldn't count it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
War Games.
Yeah, but I mean, that is the of the big four. That is the smallest of the big four.
It is. But I think SummerSlam really gets no respect, even though it's 120 degrees in the kingdom when that happens. But
and the women have to wrestle in layers. That, I mean, like, on one hand, cool, impressive progress. We're going to have so many women's matches between SmackDown and the main show. But on the other hand, it's like, man, that's got to be tough. Right? I mean, they're not wrestling in the regular gear. And I think that's tough for anyone.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So this contract signing, though, good enough segment. This will be a good enough match. But Logan Paul ain't winning. Even more so now that his title's not on the line.
True.
Yeah. That's like buying insurance. And, you know, the insurance company is like, hey, we're going to make the policy active in the next 2 weeks. And you're like, can you make it active this weekend? Because I got a lot of kerosene and some mad. I really got plans to burn down my house this weekend. So I really need that policy to go into effect ASAP.
Come on. Come on.
It's a little sus. It's a little sus.
It's a lot of sus.
Yeah. So Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax. I thought this was Jade's to win. I did not see this DQ coming of Jade holding the chair. Loved Nia interacting with Jade's daughter.
Your mommy sucks. Yeah. I fought so hard. So poor girl. That was great. Oh, man. But yeah, so it's a great match. I never thought Jade Cargill would be a get so frustrated, grabs a weapon thing. But then I have to tell myself, hey, look, maybe you're just bringing in her AEW character into what Jade is now, so reset it. But it seemed a little bit weird, but it's a good way to get out of this one.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I think Nia is on another level now in this run that she's having.
Acknowledge her.
Yeah, she's doing really good work. And I think she's got a certain gravitas now that she didn't have before, where she comes across more experienced. I think she's wrestling with a different level of aggression. She's more confident. Like, I think she's just doing really good work.
She's also more flexible too, so she can sell better. But look, I like my heels hated. I like my Baron Corbin's. I like my Nia Jax's. I wanna really hate somebody. I don't want to be like, oh man, he's such a good heel. So Nia fits that bill. It's great.
Yeah, I agree. Then we had DIY versus Legado del Fantasma.
You didn't call it Lobos Locos? That's great.
Sorry.
Well, DIY needs help. And they can't do it themselves. Ironically.
Is it going to be Candace?
I don't know. Jacksonville was hot all night. And they were hot when the match ended. But when they came out, it was like crickets.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand SmackDown's new place for them. We all love Johnny Gargano. We all love Tommaso. Well, most of us love Tommaso Ciampa. But
love Tommaso Ciampa.
I'm not a big fan of him. But the idea is you got to make sure that work, because that team is a great team and they need a chance to shine in the new regime.
Do you know his real story and like his battles with depression? I mean, it's very moving.
Sure. The human behind Tommaso Ciampa, I'm not aware of, but the character of Tommaso Ciampa does.
No, like the real guy.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's just so much respect for him and what he's made of his career. Because he, I mean, even in just in NXT, like, he comes across as the guy, like, we thought he was going to be in NXT forever, because this is the dude that he doesn't have the size of an Eric Rowan. He doesn't have the look of all the other guys. Like, the main roster is not going to know what to do with him. So the fact that him and Gargano have made it, you know, and persevered, no, I think there's a lot there. But Legado, I mean,
well, I always try to separate the characters from the people, right? Because everyone has a little journey. But like, I just feel like that group DIY has done so good, has so many great matches, but for some reason, the main roster is something's not clicking with them. So
yeah, I know. But they won. Los Lobos Locos need to figure some things out. The next full moon, they're coming back with a
They're not wolves.
Why did they have the dream then with the scratches and the bite marks?
Because, you know, you ever had a very vivid dream before? I fall out of my bed nightly. Like, it's kind of crazy.
You fall out of your bed. Wow.
I don't have crazy dreams. I don't dream at all. I have dreams where I'm like, oh, wait, I'm falling out of my bed. No, I'm in my bed. That's it. Never like wolves have attacked me in my chest. Never.
Because, and if you did, you would wake up, you'd be a werewolf.
That's not how werewolves work.
Wait, have you seen an American Werewolf in London?
I have.
Not the lesser sequel in American Werewolf in Paris, which is kind of like the bloodline of American Werewolf movies. Wow. In American Werewolf in London, he thinks the next day, he's like, I had the craziest dream last night.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Angel Garza had with their granddad.
Yes. But he was but in American Werewolf, he was turned into a werewolf.
They're not Lobos. They're not Lobos. I wonder what Santos Escobar is doing, because they haven't really won much of anything. A little bit of LWO, but...
It was nice to have them wrestling another team.
Agreed.
A-Town Down Under was on commentary.
A-Town Down.
We'll see. I have to admit, compared to every other match tonight, this was a little bit of a dip.
And you know why?
Why?
Santos Escobar and company didn't get a proper entrance. DIY is ice cold, and the meat in the middle was not only light, it was super delayed before the ref got in position. So you didn't think they were going to be the last pin, and it was. So you're like, oh, okay. I guess he got really beat up.
Well, we had the announcers explain the QR code, which was kind of weird, and show like the video, like it's a little fourth wall breaking.
The video was an hour long. I would definitely put that over. That was a lot of effort.
I know. Like, well, it wasn't like an hour long of nonstop action. There was that static shot for...
There.
Like, oh, they turned a camera on and just left it there.
Gotta put it over, brother.
Yeah.
It works for me, brother.
But let's talk about this main event. Randy Orton, the Viper, versus Carmelo Hayes. I thought Carmelo was gonna win this.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because you can't call him up and have him be this hot NXT star who's on the rise. I mean, normally, like, there's two different ways you get called up from NXT. You get like the Pretty Deadly call up where you win like your first match and then it doesn't go so well after that. Or they build you, right? It's like, we're trying to establish you as a upper card guy on the main roster. I thought Carmelo was going to be on that tip. And I thought, what better way to establishes bona fides than having him defeat Randy Orton.
I like Carmelo. The positive thing is he's made event in SmackDowns already. Sure. Pretty cool. But the thing is about the King of the Ring, or King and Queen of the Ring, which I'm never going to say correctly, is that it's come out of nowhere. It's basically a tournament they throw out whenever they need something. And so it needs stakes. And so there's a stake having Randy Orton against the Bloodline, because the Bloodline needs something to do. Need something to win, right? So to me, the storyline makes more sense. I mean, Carmelo was just collateral damage, but he acquitted himself pretty well.
Yeah, but the title King of the Ring is about as meaningful as World's Greatest Grandpa. Like, doesn't actually.
Well, don't tell Xavier Woods. That was his lifelong dream.
No, it's a fun gimmick, but I'm saying it's not a title. You can't lose it. It's not the Heritage Cup, Flobo.
Baron Corbin lost his crown.
Why do I not remember that?
To King Nakamura. King Nakamura stole it. And he was like, yeah, what's my crown? And then he became Bum Ass Corbin after that.
Man, that was a good arc. That might be my favorite WWE arc in the last, like, that and Sami Zayn in the Bloodline.
Really? You had so many better ones than that. Ding Dong Hello. You got the
was that an arc?
I think so.
Oh yeah, Ted DiBiase with Cameron Grimes is pretty.
Bailey with a tag team championship, becoming a Karen and getting injured right when stuff was about to be opened up again. It was like the unfinished arc. Those are the best ones.
It's funny because when we talk about it in broad strokes, it's like, man, there's a lot of good stuff. And then for every one of those, there's like five Bobby Lashley sisters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think the pandemic era had so many good ideas, but the actual matches and episodes were just silence. And so you heard Apollo Crews every week fall on his back. Seth Rollins being a cult leader every week. Oh, wow. Is it?
But I like this match, though. And Randy Orton, when he's engaged and he's you could tell when he's feeling it versus when he's just going through the motions. And since he's been back, he's been feeling it. And I think it's been a fun run that he's on.
Also benefited from France. I feel like when he said, look, the French audience sings my song, we were like, damn, I guess we got to do it too. And that helps. I mean, when you perform, I know my comedy career isn't as big as most people. It's not as big as Alvin Conibus, to be honest with you. But there is something about getting a feedback from an audience that makes you feel like you can do you can do anything. And so Orton's feeling it and he's showing it in the ring.
Is that who you compare yourself to comedy wise?
Everyone else does. When I got this job, they're like, is it Alfred 2.0? He surely isn't Alfred. Waka, waka, waka. When you're the new guy, it sucks. But then you get a couple matches under your belt.
I don't know. It's interesting. But I get what you mean. Like with local bands, with other people, mm-hmm. like we see who our contemporaries are. And then, well, as Morrissey said, we hate it when our friends become successful. Yeah, it's kind of
Morrissey is kind of a loaded reference.
Yeah, Morrissey's
oh man.
He said a thing or two that was like, oh, that's kind of poignant, you know? Like yeah. We're like, oh, that's kind of clever, you know?
Yeah. Jim Cornette of music right there.
Yeah, Morrissey's the Jim Cornette of music. That's good.
Kind of makes sense, but
well, okay, when you do stand up in front of a wrestling crowd, that's gonna kill.
That's gonna kill you. Morrissey is a Jim.
What do you think about Morrissey's kind of the Jim Cornette of wrestling, you know? Where most of the time you're like, oh my god, but occasionally you're like, that's on point. You know?
I love his music. I love the fact they're singing this stuff now. I think everyone knows this is the last run of Randy, or close to the end of the run for Randy. And now we get people singing a song again, and he's feeling it. The matches are kind of a different clip. And if you have Randy Orton healthy, you could put him at 805, you could put him at 945. He can really go up and down the card to see fit.
Yeah. I think this was very well done. I thought it was good. I thought it was a really good match. But man, that was the most moist promo I've ever seen at the end when he got on the mic. But you know, some wrestlers get on the mic and spit hot fire. Like Randy was just like droplets just everywhere.
Yeah, what pandemic? Yeah. It's been mad. I like it though.
Like, did he just drink water or something before he did that?
I think it's the opposite. I think we have dry mouth. It breaks off. It's gross. It breaks off. So it becomes like a...
Yeah, man.
14-time champ.
Yes. Good promo, though, him versus the Bloodline. I get it. Mm-hmm. You're right. But this isn't him versus the Bloodline. This is him versus the current Bloodline.
Sure. But, you know, it matters. It's like when your favorite team plays against their rival. It's not the same people. It's still the team. I don't know. What's your team? The Aces? No, the Golden Knights.
I like the
Aces. What's your team? Like your
The Vegas Thrill Professional Women's Volleyball, the last place team in the PVF.
Oh wow, the last place team. I guess that example.
I think there was a three-way tie. Horrible example. Three-way tie for last.
Okay. Well, I'm a Mets fan.
PVF championship tomorrow on CBS Sports.
Oh, where's the venue?
It's in Omaha, and I think it's the Omaha team versus Grand Rapids, who had an amazing comeback in the semifinals. They were number four, and they beat the number one ranked team.
Is this pro level?
Pro Volleyball Federation.
Wow.
Inaugural season. Good. For $1 million. $1 million game. The players get to split $1 million, whoever wins tomorrow.
You have tickets? Season tickets at all?
No. Well, we just put down a deposit for the thrill next year, for 2025.
Hmm. I'll look this up after the show.
Yeah, pro volleyball. I think LA's getting a team.
I have a tab for cameos. So I'm going to buy a cameo. And then after that, I'm going to look up the Las Vegas Thrill.
Yeah, Vegas Thrill, man. That's where it's at. Thrillville. Like shirts say, welcome to Thrillville. It's pretty dope.
I cannot wear that in public, but I respect that.
Anyhow.
I'll get a lapel pin so no one knows what I'm talking about.
Yes. But no, I think Randy, if it had been Randy versus Roman or Randy versus Jimmy, even Randy versus Solo, Randy versus Tama.
Yes, you're right if you're comparing bloodline to bloodline. But if you are comparing it to here is a brand new force for evil versus like the DDP, the people's champ, the guy who represents the values of the old guard, then that's still kind of fun.
This is like your, I'm in a freestyle battle against D12. Oh, you going against them? Well, no.
Yeah.
You going against Proof? Well, no.
You can't go against Proof.
You going against Bizarre? Well, no.
Are you going to slander?
D12.
I was thinking Slater Kniva? Is that a Swift? Like, who are you going to slander?
I'm trying to remember. I'm amazed that I got three, to be honest.
Yeah, it's Swift, Kniva, Proof.
Bugs.
Bugs is before they got big, though. That's he passed away as well.
Oh, you're right. Okay, but so
Swift, Kniva, Proof, M, and Bizarre was in Purple Pills.
Yeah. Okay, but you understand my point.
I was waiting to see who you're going to slander. If you're going to be like, I'm not.
Okay, remember at the end of Hit 'Em Up, what was that, Tupac with the Outlaws?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it was Outlaws.
I'm saying this is, you're battling a member of the posse. You're not going after the name.
Absolutely. But here are people coming after Randy Orton. This isn't the old guard. This is the guy, the symbol. He's a torchbearer.
Yeah. Well, Randy, sure. No, Randy is name status. Randy is marquee.
Right.
Tama hasn't proved himself yet.
This is why they fed Logan to Randy or even Austin Theory. It's like the fact he's the old man who still can kick ass. He's a Finley now. of the roster, and and people say, okay, great. So yes, it's not as cool as a bloodline, but it's still Upstart versus Randy Orton.
This is like if Teddy Riley guy era was like, yo, I'm throwing down against someone from New Edition. They're like Bobby Brown. It's like, well, no.
Yeah.
They're like Ralph Tresvant. Well, no. Johnny Gill.
Hell no.
No. I'm going up against Rick DeVoe.
Damn.
People would be like, what, was Ronnie Bell busy?
Yeah.
You couldn't get Biv? Biv would be interesting, at least.
That'd be funny if Rob was like actually watching this, like, what the hell? I'm just watching SmackDown, these guys.
Tomatonga, the Ricky Bell, or no, the Ron DeVoe. Of the line.
That is sad.
Angelo is the Ricky Bell. Clearly, Roman's the Bobby Brown. I mean, let's just be real about this. I think this will be good, but man, it's like this, if they would have run this, if this would have been the match instead of the what was it, a triple threat with Roman, whatever they did before Mania, like settling the business between RKO and the bloodline, that would have, with Roman, that would have been huge.
Yeah,
I think they waited too long.
What if Randy wins at King of the Ring and beats Tama? Just go with me here.
Okay.
And that sets some motion into what the bloodline is. If Roman calls back, if he gives Soul some instructions, if they add a person, if they drop Tongue, would that be a good trigger to things, right?
Okay. I mean, Jacob Fatu's waiting in the wings to run into the ring. A little bit of a tongue twister there.
Deep.
He could cost the match. That could be his debut. This could be Randy. Well, no, I guess because Randy and Tom are in the semis, right? Not in the finals.
No, in the semis, yep.
Yeah, but Jacob Fatu could debut that way.
He could. That's what I'm saying. What if that match opens up a reason why we should care about the new bloodline, federation, nation?
I'm with you.
Tribe? I don't know.
Jacob Fatu is going to be the Han of the bloodline, and that when it enters its Tokyo Drift era.
Han, the guy who lived and died again.
Well, Mr. Nobody helped him fake his death. I mean, clearly you didn't watch the last.
And where did Mr. Nobody go? That's what I want to know.
By the way, have you watched Kyle Kinane's new special, Dirt Nap? No. It's on YouTube for free. He does a great breakdown of It is like 15 minutes on the Fast and the Furious series. It's very funny.
How do you know the Fast and Furious franchise is Universal Studios' most important and most money-making franchise of all time?
And Jurassic it's ending Park, with the next movie.
For now, but you got to remember the animated series, the women's spinoff.
Like, wait, did you watch the animated series?
The first four seasons were great. The last two, I just like finished it. I just kind of like, I got to finish it, man. It's, but, you know.
Dom Toretto in 3D is nightmare fuel. When it he is. Shows up in that first episode, like that is some bad animation.
It is. And that's why you only see parts of him. It's always like his head or his leg. Almost like Tom's and Tom and Jerry cartoons, like the owner. It's like
half
like, her body.
We can't. Vin Diesel is such a unique individual. We can't possibly 3D model him correctly.
He's damn near a CGI now.
That's true. Fast Five still the best in the series.
It is. And you, 6 was kind of like 5.2.
Yeah.
7 was kind of out of their hands, but they've been coasting, bro. They have been
9 was so boring. And how do you make a Fast and the Furious movie boring? Watch Fast and the Furious 9. But Fast X returned to form.
It did. But I think what 9 did was the trope that kills any soap opera. My long lost relative I never mentioned before. It happens to be here. And you're like, wait, if John Cena is your brother, who is your dad and mom? How?
And then John Cena, match. Somehow John Cena in 9 is the most dour, serious, lifeless person on earth. And in Fast X, he's just John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And he's goofy and fun. And he's just John Cena.
And he's like, oh, The Rock coming back? All right.
Yeah.
Peace.
Jason Momoa really livened up Fast X. Yep. Looking forward to closing out the series. But anyhow.
Why isn't that called Fasten? Like fasten your seatbelt.
It's fast. Oh, wait, I didn't tell you. Did I tell you this? I thought I was going to be able to retire on this. I had the idea around Fast 6. I registered FUR10US.com.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then FUR10.US. And I was like, they're going to call the 10th one Furious, but have it with the 1 and the 0 instead of the I and the O. And Vin Diesel and Universal are going to give me so much money, I can retire when I sell this domain. And then they went with the Fast X, Fast 10, your seatbelts. I was like, oh, my brilliant idea thwarted.
Were you like an 80s cartoon? Blast!
Yeah, I was like, when I registered that, like, look, not often do you have moments in life where you're patting yourself on the back, but I was like, I'm so smart. Like, this is such a brilliant idea. They haven't figured it out yet. I figured it out. I'm registering.
The Barry Horowitz.
Yeah,
he lost a lot of matches there, Glenn. I just want you to know, patting yourself on the back almost never works.
Yeah. Okay, we should wrap this up, or we're gonna go all night just talking about the Fast and the Furious series.
We gotta start a comment though. Do we
give that's right. Chad W, what's up, Chad? Glenn, I'm going to AEW next Saturday at the Grand. I'll hang out Saturday. I might go see Andrew Schultz.
That's not AEW. Boom. Look at you. I want wrestling friends. I'm a wrestling friend. Oh, not like that way. I'm going to Andrew Schultz instead.
And you're Caitlin a heel, Glenn. Caitlin Clark's in town also that night.
No, look, I like Caitlin Clark, but the Fever are so hapless. Like, you save yourself the money. Just watch the highlights, brother. They're not a good team at all.
So does it work that the last ranked team gets the first round draft pick?
Yeah. More. Okay. I mean, it's a lottery, but typically the worse you are, the more lotto chips weight you get. And the Fever aren't good. They're just not a good team.
Yeah, but Double or Nothing Sunday, though. I just want to point that out. So it's not like I'm bailing on AEW. I'm just saying Double or Nothing Sunday.
Chad Dubs in town. Say what's up.
Chad Dub, I know. If you see me there, say hi.
Do you do autographs?
I mean, I've taken photos with people.
But autographs you don't do.
That's kind of weird.
How are autographs weird?
Do people want autographs anymore? Wait, who is going to a wrestling show and says, I have a pen and paper, sign this?
If you had an 8x10 and I brought it to you.
I had an 8x10.
I have to ask this question. If I go to a meet and greet and I have an 8x10, would you sign it?
I probably would. I have to come up with a public signature, though, so I don't put my real signature on it.
Oh, man. Look at you. So Hollywood.
I told this story before. We roll up to Evolution in Long Island. And I said to my wife before we go in, I'm like, hey, just be prepared. You know, a lot of people listen to Wrestling Inc. If somebody recognizes me, like, you know, I might need you to take a photo of me and them or something. And she's like, yeah, Glenn, that's not going to happen. We get in the building and we walk about 20 feet before a dude's like, oh my God, Glenn from Wrestling Inc.
Oh,
can I get a photo? And then didn't happen again the entire evening.
So you paid him off.
No, but it was perfect. It was like the comedic timing of it could not have been better.
When you and your wife hang out, is it like Curb Your Enthusiasm? Is it like that? Or is it?
Sometimes.
Okay.
At wrestling stuff, it is. At wrestling stuff, it, but yeah, here's the weirder part. I used to get, when we were going to shows in the Bay Area, what I would get is people being like, oh yeah, I saw you at the show, but I didn't want to bug you. So after that, I was like, no, come up, say hi. Like, you know, we're not going to have like an in-depth conversation, but like, let's chat, shake hands and take a picture. Sure. If that's your jam, why not? You know,
I've taken so many pictures. I'm hanging out with Jack Farmer.
Oh yeah. Like, well, handsome Jack Farmer.
Who the hell are you? Hey, Jack. You're like, I'll take a photo. It's fine. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, StarCast, I used to get recognized by people. Hanging out there, but I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in Vegas. But no, I'm bummed that it's not like, I'm not seeing a lot of wrestling media. Like a lot of people we know are not coming out for this show.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah. I don't know.
Saving. Isn't Battleground the week after?
Okay. So Battleground is, but tickets aren't even on sale for Battleground yet. Like you can register for Priority Pass, but like general, like I haven't gotten anything. I signed up. I didn't do the expensive one. I signed up for the general list of like, hey, just email me when it's ready. And
I don't think they're going to have tickets. I think they're going to be priority seat fillers or priority in the list and then seat fillers, right? Because NXT is a studio show.
Well, but it's Battleground, though. So it's, I mean, it's a PLE. It's at the Apex.
Yeah.
They've had fans there. Supposedly, it's not a very good venue.
When Stand and Deliver was at LA, they had, because it's so early in the morning, they had a seat filler program. Like it exists.
Oh, I know. I'm on the Vegas locals stuff. I'll keep an eye out for that. Sure. I just want to go. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. I haven't been to an NXT show since, I can't remember the last NXT show I went to.
I went to No Mercy in the corn capital of the world.
That's right. I almost drove out for that. I was really close to driving out for that.
That drive was boring, but it was cool when I got there.
Yeah, but from here, it's like 4.5 hours, and it's not fun. Mm,
it's 2 hours from home, man.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see, but hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Follow Flobo Boys. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Tweet at us and tell us what direct-to-video sequel you think the current Bloodline is. And we'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.